broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This is the broadcast for July 25th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and the checks and balances put in place by the founders. Absolutely brilliant. We believe that's one of the peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. That is the checks and balances that made America great. A moral people insisting on the proper role of government via the checks and balances is one of the great answers of our time. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Yesterday, we had the good sheriff on with Sam and Kurt, Richard Mack, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Become a member today. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org. We talked about this in Utah. It was a holiday, and most folks don't know about it around the country or around the world, but the holiday in Utah is called Pioneer Day. It is on the 24th of July every year, and it's been happening since the 40s, 50s, hard to say when it actually started. I'd have to go look up when they decided to celebrate it like we do. But, you know, some are concerned that we're not celebrating the day right. Some are focused on the divides in America over race or how different people are treated or how people's histories aren't understood and or, respected or appreciated, etc. And you know what? Sam documents the history of the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, their trek west and why, etc. There's no doubt there's been a lot of mistakes in America. Certain groups of people have not been treated right. Certain peoples, whether it's religious, whether it's race, whether it's male, female, whatever divide line you can find, you know what? There's been mistakes. We haven't done it right. The whole purpose of this great country oftentimes has been, in my opinion, undermined by bad behavior. We need to know about it. We need to bring it out. We need to make sure we never repeat it. I agree with every bit of that. What we don't need to do is use it as a divide going forward. We are all God's children. When will we behave like it? That's really the question of yesterday's first hour. And what can we do to help that become the case? How do we be kind to one another? How do we respect one another? How do we work with those who we agree with on given subjects, even if we don't agree with them on other subjects? How do we come together as Americans? It's okay to acknowledge race. You don't have to deny race and pretend you're colorblind. It's okay to celebrate Mexican culture, Mexican history. If you are a Mexican, you should be proud of your history. We should learn it and understand it. And any bad parts in it, we should never repeat. And all the good parts, we should carry forward. We should learn about the culture and the food and the history and the important times and the sad times. Same with the white people. Same with black people. Same with Native Americans. Everybody has a great historical culture. And you know what? We shouldn't shut down or ignore any of those histories. We should understand them. We should celebrate them. We should mourn with those who mourn for the past. We should celebrate and be happy for those who have success and for historical highlights. When there's opposition, meaning one group wins, the other loses, let's take the Mexican War. America won, Mexico lost. We should be happy for America. We should also be sad for the difficulties the Mexicans experienced. And instead of debating sides of the discussion, it's in the past. You can't change anything. What we should do is celebrate the principles that were correct and good and honorable. We should be sad about the lives lost on every side. But we should celebrate going forward that we're not at war now, and we should do all we can to avoid war in the future. That was hour one, though. It was a great coming together hour, celebrating Pioneer Day. And Pioneer Day is about peoples who have suffered, but peoples who have also emerged victorious in many ways. And we should not look to the past with anger and fear and frustration and hatred. We should look to the future with hope and optimism and gratitude and forgiveness and repentance and love. And, well, we are all God's children. When are we going to start to act like it, folks? That was hour one. Hour two, it was Sam Curtin, the good sheriff, as well. And we talked about, do you support the police? I, for one, do. Yes, I do. Are they perfect? Far from. But I'm telling you right now, as Dennis Prager put it, expect chaos if you defund the police. Dennis Prager says the difference between police and no police is the difference between order and chaos. And I believe that. You know what? What does defunding the police actually mean? For example, you know, they just say defund the police. What does that mean? Does it mean get rid of all money for the police? All funding? I don't think we should at all. The whole purpose of the proper rule of government is to have law and order. If you don't have a sheriff, you don't have that, folks. That's why they created the sheriff in the first place. It wasn't because they were just like, oh, let's have government run around. It's because they needed it, folks. Whenever there's a void, a vacuum, something of power will fill that void, okay? So we put a sheriff in place to say, hey, you know what? We want somebody who's going to be accountable to the people. Well, that's where it's run off the rails. We need to reject appointed police people. And we need to go back to the way it used to be, where county sheriffs elected by the people were in charge. We need to redirect a lot of that funding. Instead of bringing military hardware to communities, we need to bring de-escalation training to communities. Not de-escalation training like a little blip in their big, you're in charge, you're the cop, take down the enemy plan. I'm talking about true de-escalation by saying, hey, let's get you out with the people. Let's have you learn about the people. Let's have you become part of the people. And let's have you understand your oath of office. And I think if we could redirect a lot of funds, defund a significant portion, but redirect some of the funding, if we could bring a little bit of extra funding to sheriff's department, since they'll have greater responsibilities, and if we could defund about 90% of the federal, I think we could get somewhere, folks. I really do. Okay, we should defund Homeland Security. We should defund the IRS. We should seriously, seriously scale back the FBI and CIA, if not get rid of them altogether. We've got a lot of work to do, but what we can't do is let them build a, quote, national police force. Okay, they're creating a national federal police force. There should be only five things, constitutionally speaking, that are federal-level issues. Many of them have to do with foreign affairs or affairs that the states can't individually negotiate or else they might undermine one another. So there are some things the feds should do, but it's limited and defined. Okay, it's a narrow scope. It's a list. Five things. They're turning so many things into federal crimes, it's shocking, and it needs to stop. So I, for the most part, agree a lot with the defund the police if we define what defunding means. Redirecting some funds, bringing things back to the local level, de-escalation training, less military hardware and less the people and the cops are at odds and more. You know what? You work for us because you're elected. You work for us. Remember that. And you know what? The more we put local police in charge and the more we give them authority, you also need to make the people part of the sheriff's department. You need to go ahead and have, I don't know what you call them, militias, some called them. That's been given a bad name in recent times, but if you study history, it certainly does not. But whether you call it the militia, whether you call it the kitchen militia and have women involved, whether you use highly trained individuals that are part of a sheriff's posse, whatever words you use, having the people be part of the, quote, peace officer mentality, and having the peace officers learn to communicate and be part of their communities. I'm telling you, the things that I'm highlighting are real solutions-oriented options. All right? I'm just telling you, though, expect chaos if you defund the cops. I'm telling you right now. It is serious. Serious indeed. For example, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler made a fool of himself by joining the protesters. This is just an example of where, look, who's who? You know what? The protesters might seem like a large group, but they're a tiny portion compared to Portland. Most of the people are being sidelined, and you got the mayor literally doubling down with groups that betray most of the people in these communities. Most of the people are going, we don't want these protests. We don't want property destruction and the lack of safety and violence in our areas. And the mayor's joining them. In my opinion, it's time to fire that mayor, folks. Wow. Anyway, I digress, except to say we the people can work with the police effectively. Getting rid of the police swings the pendulum way too far to the wrong side and will create more problems than good. Trust you me. But there is a constitutional. There is a moral. There is a common sense way forward, and hopefully I've pointed to that. The good sheriff is with me once again, Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome back, sir. And what do you say to the summary of what we're talking about, and what do you have to add, sir?
Man, I'm getting the frog in my throat today. Sam, great to be back with you this beautiful Saturday morning.
Amen to that. Hey, what do you think of the summary, though, of what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I was wondering what kind of celebrations there were in Utah for Pioneer Day.
Well, most of them were kind of shut down in strange ways. A lot of people got outside. A lot of people did fireworks. I went to a play.
What?
Yeah, man, it was an outdoor play. It was at American Heritage Schools, and it was called A Trail of Dreams. And it highlights the pioneer's trek west and the suffering on the trail and the good times and the bad times and the bitter and the sweet. And, you know, it was an incredible portrayal of the suffering, but yet the victory that occurred back in the days when the pioneers came west. It highlighted and encapsulated their struggles, their death, their suffering, their turmoil. But it also celebrated their legacy of faith, their hope, their trust, their dreams. It's called A Trail of Dreams because is death the robber of dreams, or does death give your dreams flight? And it was an incredible play. I don't know if you've ever heard it or seen it, but we'll talk about it when we get back. The good sheriff with me, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Sheriff Richard Mack, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, live and on your radio, the good sheriff, Richard Mack and Sam Bushman. So I went to A Trail of Dreams. It's an incredible play. And the play takes the form of John Brown. And John Brown has a serious dream. And in the dream, he crosses the plains with all the different groups simultaneously. And the reason that they do that is basically for telling the story purposes. You go forward in time and backward in time to highlight I'm trying to think of the way to put it. Those who die and those who live and their roles in the crossing, and some of the people that crossed earlier come back to help others. Anyway, it's about ordinary people, but it's no ordinary play. And it's no ordinary set of experiences. It is a historically accurate play. It's a musical about the exodus of the Mormons. But it's an incredible example of life and hope and future and, well, the pioneering effort. And it talks really, it kind of, especially in the coronavirus reality today, it kind of mirrors our pioneering efforts. What are we going to do? What's the future going to look like for us? How's it going to, man, they're in tough times and we're in tough times. Well, anyway, here's the point. It was an outside venue, so it was kind of hot, Sheriff. And they did this incredible play, and it echoed off the Rocky Mountains. It sounded beautiful. And they sang, and they danced, and they talked, and they explained, and they told their stories, and it was tears and laughter, and there was a lot of funny jokes about relationships on the trail and circumstantial realities of being kicked out of your homes and forced into the wilderness. At the same time, though, it really painted a picture of hope. And here's what was cool. While the play was going on outside, at the end of the play, the fireworks started. Not by the group doing the play, but just by everybody around them. But there was people doing huge fireworks. And so you had this, on one hand, suffering and disappointment and difficult times highlighted, but they made it to the valley. And generations later, we celebrate their loss, but also their victory. We celebrate it with fireworks in the background. It was incredible, sir.
And where was it held?
At the American Heritage Outdoor venue. They actually had it at the soccer stadium. And we sat out on these cement, you know, bleachers of sorts, if you will. And they had the play on the track. It wasn't even on a stage or anything. But they had outdoor, you know, equipment and, you know, music. And everybody was mic'd up. And I'm telling you right now, everybody's socially distanced. And some people wore masks. And, of course, some people didn't. And I didn't, of course. And it was a tremendous event, and just the old time recount of what really happened to these people, their victory, their arrival at the Salt Lake Valley, and then our celebration in that same valley, literally what, 150, 100 and whatever years later. And I'm telling you, what the irony of the situation in some ways, but yet the significance was not lost on me, sir.
That sounds great.
I'm telling you right now, it was phenomenal. So you had really live fireworks going off. That was, in a sense, unrelated to the play, because it wasn't at all part of the play. But because it was so, what's the word? Significant, maybe? Ironic in a way. But the celebrations of the 24th, along with the historical recount of the 24th, just shows that they gained the prize, sir. They had the victory. Our lives and our homes and our living in modern day, with the virus and the difficulties in front of us, highlighted that, you know what?
Yeah.
It is a trail of dreams. And it is difficult to achieve one's dreams. But it is worth the prize. And us celebrating in the Rocky Mountains in the background, the people that were celebrating were probably oblivious of the recount that was happening at the very time. But they made the recount all come into focus. Does that make sense?
Well, sure.
It was incredible. Yeah. Anyway,
you know, the story of the early Mormon settlers and pioneers is an amazing story, and there's been movies made about it. There was even a Hollywood movie made about the life of Brigham Young.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's you know, there's probably, what, dozens and dozens of books, maybe hundreds, about the story of the early Mormon church and the pioneers and how they settled Utah. And man, yeah, it could fill volumes, and it actually has filled volumes. And I need to call Lucy, because Lucy's a part-time teacher there, and I need to see if she made it to that. But
Lucy's a part-time teacher at American Heritage?
Yes.
All right. Well, my kids have gone there for years. I know a lot about the school, and I'm telling you right now, I'm just hesitating to try to explain this right. It is a play that, you know, a lot of people might dismiss this, and you're saying, why are you taking this thing about Mormons nationally, Sam, or, you know, worldwide, because, you know, this radio program is national, to say the least, and worldwide for sure. You go, because this is an example of Brigham Young was known by the world as the great colonizer. Okay? You literally had in America a state where the governor forced a group of people out by gun, bayonet, threats of rape and murder to men, women, and children, and the governor demanded it by order. And the president of the United States says, your cause is just, but I can do nothing for you. And it's their trek that they tell the story of. Well, now you've got a huge group of people in the Rocky Mountains, every city, for millions and millions of people, colonized by these early people, member of the church or not. This is a significant worldwide understanding. And to look back at their suffering, but more importantly, their success, I think relates to everyone in the world. Why? Because it highlights what I'm talking about. It's a difficult time in history that should never be repeated. But it also highlights a people, Sheriff. This is important. It highlights a people who are not asking for reparations. We're not going around saying that. What we're saying is, let's go forward and heal. And if you watch this Trail of Dreams, American Heritage School has it. I'm going to send you the link right now, Sheriff.
Okay.
AmericanHeritage.org/Trail of Dreams, or the Trail of Dreams. Search for it online. You'll find it. But I'm going to send it to the good sheriff right now because I want people to see and understand this is really telling not only about the history of what happened to a peoples in supposedly the country that was founded and created for religious liberty, right? And then literally, almost 100 years later, struggled because they kicked out a group relating to religious liberty. What a sad tale. But at the same time, what a conquering spirit. And the people that suffered these tremendous abuses not only helped their government with the Mexican War in the middle of their trials and tribulations, but they also now help in so many ways today. We are some of the least bitter people, some of the most look forward with healing people on the planet. In my mind, it's something to celebrate and an example to look at, Sheriff. All right, that link's in your email. Anybody else wants it, look for American Heritage School or just go to, look for it. You'll find it. But I'm telling you, the Trail of Dreams, it's incredible. And, there's a lot better plays out there from an actor, actress point of view. It's a small school, so there's a lot more talent everywhere else. I get it. But the spirit of and the dedication of the children to and the understanding of the historical-based reality that these people really went through and the victorious spirit of forgiveness and repentance and hope and faith. And well, it's all a trail of dreams. And some people achieve their dreams by survival. Others obtain their dreams by losing their lives.
Right.
And what the interesting part about it is at the end of the day, they said, was it worth it? And virtually to a person, everyone that experienced it said, yes. And I'm not saying there's not an exception here or there, but for the most part, it was how dare you suggest that the sacred experiences that we went through were not worth it or were not, that were just negative. How dare you ignore the faith, the positive, the hope, the miracles. And there's been so many movies and plays about the experience. Trail of Dreams is just one of them, but nevertheless, an incredible one. And what a way to celebrate the 24th of July. To go to this and then have people who aren't even in the know celebrating with fireworks the victory, and they were oblivious of what we were doing in that stadium. It's just amazing, Sheriff. I don't mean to go on about this forever, but I'm a sucker for good plays, number one. When you take them outside on the 24th of July and you put fireworks behind them, oh, man, what a spiritual experience, sir. When we come back, we'll have comments from you. Of course, then we'll move on. But anyway, I'll put the details in the show notes so folks can find it. You can watch it, as far as I understand, online and or possibly get a DVD of it. So anyway, hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns. Multiple foreign adversaries are actively targeting the November election in a variety of ways. So says the nation's top counterintelligence official, who adds that the coronavirus and recent protests for racial justice have provided fodder for efforts. Parts of the country are hunkering down.
Hurricane Douglas moving closer to Hawaii, as the National Hurricane Center says a hurricane watch is in effect for most of the islands where hurricane conditions are likely before the weekend is over. And Tropical Storm Hanna is expected to be at least a Category 1 hurricane when it makes landfall in southeast Texas, perhaps by later today. Forecasters say Hanna could produce up to 15 inches of rain through Sunday and some possible tornadoes, and Louisiana could also get a lot of rain from Hanna. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a health care program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
A federal judge has denied a request for a temporary restraining order against federal law enforcement in Portland, Oregon, the request coming from the state attorney general. The judge found Oregon lacked standing in its attempt to limit federal agents, as protests against the presence of federal agents in the city and against racial inequality continued for its 57th night. But earlier in the day, on Friday, protests, marches, and rallies were peaceful. Separate rallies with doctors, social workers, and other groups converged together at one point. Michael Aberts, a surgeon, spoke to KOIN-TV.
Trying to be a part of representing healthcare workers who really feel a moral and ethical obligation to come down and speak our voices about this cause of the systematic racism in our society, as well as the treatment that's been going on from the feds in our city.
The presence of federal agents and their tactics have come under fire by local officials. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. So you asked me what people did for Pioneer Day. Most people celebrated obliviously, sadly to say, sir. Most things were canceled and shut down, but people didn't get outside. But I did one of the most, all I'm telling you is this, I was grateful to be there in that moment because I believe that's one of the greatest experiences I've had. Maybe in my life, but no doubt for a long time. It was tremendous. The spirit of God was strong, the spirit of hope and faith and freedom and stability and safety and the good guys get the prize was all on tap yesterday, backed by fireworks, buddy, and it was awesome. Anyway, I digress, but you asked the question. You probably got more than you bargained for, sir.
No, not at all. Most of the, in fact, all of the celebrations in Arizona were shut down. And Arizona, of course, is a big part of this whole story, as Brigham Young sent people down to settle Arizona, and that's of course where my roots come from. And the Martin Handcart Company had some of our relatives in it, and we've been part of the story. I'm a fifth generation member of the church, and it's who I am. It's what my life is. It's what's brought me to sue the federal government. My belief in freedom and standing for our Constitution all come from our theology, and just wish more of our church believed that. But it's a touching and amazing story, and I guess I can end with that.
Amen. What'd you get to do? Anything fun? Anything good?
No, we have my mother-in-law here, and she's 90, and she just lost her husband. My wife's father, as you know, passed away about 4 or 5 months ago. I also want to tell you and Julie how sorry we are about the loss of your mother-in-law, her mother, and it's been something that's been on our mind a lot, and God bless you guys, and, you know, being able to reflect on our heritage is about what this whole Pioneer Day is about.
Yes, indeed. I'll tell you what, though, Sheriff, now if you hustle, the play was last night, it's also tonight.
Oh, I could get up there in time, huh?
Yeah, man, you got a boogie, though, buddy.
Boy, I would.
All I'm telling you is it was tremendous. And, I, you know, the life that you bring up and death and, you know, some of these, in my opinion, weighty matters is what I call them. You know, they have tender mercies in them. And so there was an angel that kind of played the part and argued with John Brown about this. And he basically viewed this angel would show up and then people would die. And every time the angel was there, and after a while, he's like, "You're the angel of death. You're killing everybody. I'm going to fight you and keep everybody alive." And he came to understand that oftentimes it was the merciful fulfillment of dreams. Anyway, I bring that up because as we have losses in our own personal families and in our own lives, it's time to trust God a little bit and say, "Hey, is it an act of mercy to fulfill one's dreams?" And I think oftentimes it is, and what a blessing that is. It's all how we look at it. But do we believe death is a part of God's plan? And do we believe there's life after death? And when you have those things that you believe in, I, for one, say that death is part of God's plan for us as his children, as his literal offspring, as the Bible puts it. And then life after death being so critical and important in that plan, I say that, you know what, it's a sad day for those of us who will miss them, but I do believe they live. I do believe they go to rest with their God, and I do believe I'll see them someday. Or I should say one day, I shouldn't say someday. And that, to me, is a great, great comfort, Sheriff.
Yeah, absolutely, it is, and it's you know, it's the plan of salvation that we grew up with our entire lives, and that's what we believe. And you know, I really am proud of my heritage. I'm proud of what my ancestors did, and you know, I can tell you story after story about some of our ancestors, and my goodness, we could make a movie about the stuff just in our family. But my mother-in-law even has more, and she's here with us. And as I told you, man, oh, man, it's an amazing story. And I was going to ask, are you going to go again tonight?
I'm not, because I have radio shows to run, but my wife and kids are, absolutely. And if I could go, you bet I'd go again.
Yeah.
So it's sadly work calls, but you know what? That's part of the plan too, is work 6 days and rest on the seventh. But I will tell you this, we suffer our losses too, Sheriff, but you know what? President Donald Trump sent a letter of condolences to the widow of Charlie Daniels. And, you know, that's a tremendous kindness as well. Where's the mainstream press to give President Trump some credit for that kindness to say, hey, set aside the political divide, set aside everything. You know what, the president reached out to Charlie Daniels' family and you know, gave them a little bit of support and love.
Yeah.
They're not going to mention that at all, are they?
No, of course not. But Fox News did show him playing catch in the front lawn of the White House with some kids playing baseball, and then he was playing catch with Mariano Rivera, one of the best pitchers in New York Yankee history.
Well, he's probably playing catch so he can work on his pitching, because I guess Fauci, you know, kind
of that's kind of
went awry, but Trump's going to nail it, isn't he?
Yeah, and Trump was obviously very adept at playing. You could tell how he caught the ball and how he threw it.
Well, as far as I understand, he played as a kid too, didn't he?
It looked like it. He's been around baseball before. He was very comfortable with the way he was handling the glove and the ball. And boy, I would love to do the same thing, play catch with Mariano Rivera. Or, you know, I guess I'd like to play catch with the president, too. So.
Yes, sir. You know, the interesting thing about that is, does it get more American, man, than a president that knows how to play baseball?
Exactly. You know, baseball, apple pie, and and freedom.
Yes, sir. Now, there's a poll, though, speaking of freedom, and we talked about some of these things yesterday, but I highlight them a little bit. The poll, nearly two-thirds of Americans fear, you heard me, fear sharing their political views. What does that say about America, sir?
Yeah, that says a lot about the political correctness and the violent people who have taken over.
And a lot about the landscape in America, too, where, you know, we used to celebrate the idea that, you know what, even though we don't agree on something, we can still be polite and respectful and the peaceful transfer of power can still occur. And, you know, that was the unique hallmark of America. That's when baseball, apple pie, and respect for one another, despite our different opinions, our different political views, our different religious views. Now on the altar of, quote, diversity, sadly, that seems to be going away. It's like, as long as you agree with our terrorist activity or our, you know, communist socialist beliefs, then it's okay. Otherwise, we're going to shut you down. Anyway.
Yeah, that's happening. And like I said yesterday, it's amazing to me how people even have the courage to put a Trump bumper sticker on their car for, you know, fear of getting run off the road or shot at or whatever, you know, and So I have my Daniel McCarthy sticker on my truck, and you had him on your show one day. And
I'm for Daniel. I thought he was a pleasant gentleman with some great ideas.
Yeah, he's great. Too bad he's not going to win, but it's great. I'm getting all my family to vote for him and support him, but out here. But you know, I don't think he's done enough to counter the name recognition that McSally has in the state, and she's quite the liberal Republican, and so I wish Daniel would win, and I'm wishing him the best, but I think it's been too little too late on his campaign.
Understand. In fact, the Oakland, California mayor votes no on defunding the police after her home was vandalized. She was kind of for it until that happened, and then she's like, whoa, wait a minute now. Good point. There will be nothing but turmoil in America if you flat out get rid of the police, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I agree a lot of reform needs to happen, a lot of changes, a lot of defunding and redirecting of money, and who's in charge jurisdictionally and everything else needs to happen, no doubt. But don't defund the police. I'm telling you right now, you'll go from the fire. Or what is it? From the fire into the frying? No, frying pan into the fire?
From the fry pan to the fire.
Yeah, that's what you'll do if we do that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it. But Donald Trump Jr. was in Utah visiting a GOP candidate and celebrating Pioneer Day. So that's kind of an interesting little twist.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, did you know that?
Which candidate?
No, they didn't say which candidates. I have to try to dig into this a little bit. It's very hard. You know, the president, it seems like to me that he would coordinate with his staff and with radio and people that would support the president and his son. I think we should have been interviewing his son a day or two ahead of that and saying, you're coming to Utah, huh? Phenomenal. Where are you going to be? What are you going to do? What can we do to help? What can we do to promote your campaigns? Of course, we never got that chance, but in my opinion, that's how it ought to happen. And if President Trump doesn't have the staff, he can go ahead and hire me for a couple of pennies and I'll go ahead and help get the job done. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Why? Because this is Solutions Radio, and I don't propose a problem without a solution. So the problem is, hey, we got to help the president keep the word out. And if they don't have enough help to do it, hey, I'll get her done. What would I be, political consultant for hire, Sheriff?
Hey, let's do it.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, I want to go to Arizona. Speaking of the politicians and the battles there, we wish Daniel would win, no doubt about it. But of course, it's a road to hoe when Americans simply, for the most part, are not engaged. But I want to talk about Rep. Andy Biggs. Sheriff, do you know what's going on with him?
No, I don't think so.
So what's going on with this guy? Andy Biggs is a bunch of different things.
Okay. Yeah, he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. And I guess what's happening is Representative Andy Biggs is calling for the task force for the coronavirus to be disbanded. And he says it's time to quarantine Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx. Sarah Carter writes the piece. What do you say to this, Sheriff?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I hadn't heard that yet. I guess he's not getting much press, even here in Arizona. I look at the news every day. I haven't seen any of that.
Now, they don't want to give Andy any coverage because he's defending the president. And he basically believes that, look, we've got to get past this debate where you've got these physicians like, you know, Deborah Birx and Fauci just peddling fear and just controlling every decision that's made. Now the president literally canceled. Well, first off, he moved his venue for the Republican convention. Now he's canceled the online, the in-person portion of it in Florida. Now President Trump is encouraging masks and walking around with a mask, and it's almost like he's lost the battle, Sheriff.
Yeah, it's I don't see too much of this that we're winning, Sam. U.S. Supreme Court, did you see that from yesterday?
What's the AP one?
Justice Roberts strikes again.
Uh-oh.
One from Nevada, the Calvary Chapel Dayton Valley Church. The court voted 5-4 against the Calvary Chapel request that says that the state of Nevada cannot limit the size of their congregation and cannot give mandates to their church as to how they should conduct themselves. And, of course, here's dadgum Robert striking again, a blow against American ideals and against our Constitution. And he said something like the Supreme Court can't get involved in the state's issues on the coronavirus restrictions. And as a matter of fact, it says in the Constitution that the judicial branch of our government has to deal with citizens of the same state claiming issues against their own state. And so I don't know where Roberts goes with this, but I think he's been bought and paid for. From the day that he messed up the oath of office for Barack Obama and then they met one-on-one to redo it, I felt something was absolutely wrong. Something was up. Deal-making was going on, and it was he's been a total embarrassment and just so completely anti-Trump. American in every one of his decisions.
So what does this mean then? So there's a battle between a church and the government. The church is saying we want to worship, and the government is saying no, right?
Correct.
And then what happened?
Well, the whole thing just...
So the government can limit?
Saying what?
The government can limit?
Oh, yeah. He's saying that... Well, basically, he's trying to take a middle-of-the-road approach, but that's what he's saying, that they can, the government during a crisis basically can do anything to churches or anything else.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. The point that the church was making in this case, from what I understand, is that you can't limit church venues but while you ignore other venues or other circumstances. And basically what Roberts is saying is they can do whatever they want to.
Yeah, they said, how is it that the churches can't keep pace with the casinos? And the law allowing for the casinos to reopen. And he's saying we'll do the same social distancing and we'll follow the same rules that the casinos are. Nope, not good enough. And so this is just government run amok. And what really scares me is there was a poll, did you agree with the Supreme Court? 71% of the people supposedly on this poll agreed with it. And so we're just all just so dumbed down. And the sheeple of America are begging government to do anything and everything to protect them and make them safe and control their health and make sure that they... Why would anybody trust anybody in government to take care of their health for them? And that's what just blows me away, Sam. It just blows my mind.
It blows my mind, but here's what I don't understand. There's no case precedent for this. There's
no.
I don't know what words to say, but there's no historical reality for the 5-4 decision and Roberts selling us out. There's no precedence for this at all. In fact, it's a double standard that's being backed now by the courts.
Yeah, and that's, I'm telling you, Sam, that's why it's never been more important for the CSPOA to be funded and to be out there. And, Sam, we've got to take this thing to the 10th power, what we're doing. Radio ads, television ads, newspaper ads, and training sheriffs weekly, and training deputies and peace officers and chiefs of police, and putting this out on the internet and webinars, and what we're doing now is Kelly and I are putting together videos of our presentations, because I just don't think we're going to be able to get to everybody. We've got to make this readily available, and the funding of this is so vital now, and we're trying to reach out to people with means and also every American, because everybody can do something, and that's exactly what this whole CSPOA thing is about. It's about a partnership between law enforcement and citizens, because the bottom line is we can make what Roberts did yesterday with these other four socialists on the Supreme Court, we can make what he did irrelevant, because the bottom line is who's going to enforce it and how will it be enforced? And that's exactly where the CSPOA comes in. And as you know, Sam, we have never been pushing for sheriffs and peace officers, all of them, let's just reach out to them and say, you know, this is all about you becoming members of the CSPOA. No, we have never been about that. We certainly want people to join, and we certainly want the citizens of this great country to be members and to help fund us, and membership does help fund us. But we have never been about that. We've been about changing behavior and the methods that police use to enforce the law.
And when we say changing behavior, let's be very clear. When we say changing behavior, let's be very clear. We're talking about education. We're talking about understanding of the historical reality of the sheriff, of who he was, what his point was, why he was the first elected government official in America or in the world. There's always a need to say, hey, wait a minute, we got to have somebody make sure that I don't have to sit on my porch with my gun in my lap all day. And that's kind of where it started. And so we want to go back to those roots and say, look, You know what? Law enforcement can be governed by the people. There can be a unity amongst the, some would say law enforcement, I would say peace officers, and the people. And this training educates to that very point, Sheriff. And when we do, we are not starting from a position of odds, at odds, if you will. We're starting from a position of unity and service and love and protection. And that's where we're starting from. And so the whole point that we're getting at is it's an educational push, effort, right?
Exactly. And it's such a great work. And what I love about this is that it's a peaceful solution to what's going on in our country today. And Roberts just showed how much more we are needed, because the courts are no longer standing for the Constitution. They can't even do a simple thing like protect freedom of religion. How is it that they can, the courts in this country can't look at the principle of liberty regarding our right to worship as we choose, according to the dictates of our conscience? And it's time and time again now, especially since this stupid coronavirus thing has taken over our country. It's taken over the courts. It's taken over the executive branch in every state. Mayors and governors doing, you alluded to, with this ridiculous mayor in Portland and the things that they're allowing to occur. Riots and mayhem and violence are being supported by these people. And man, does the CSB way have a lot of work to do or what?
Yes, indeed they do. And I will say this too. Not only are the courts not defending our freedoms, but they're literally the, what do you want to call it? They're the, literally the tip of the spear to start to violate our liberties. They're literally saying the government can just flat out shut you down and dictate to you anything it wants to, even though there's a double standard, even though it doesn't apply to other venues or circumstances, whether it be gambling halls or riot venues. Don't know, but anything of perversion seems to be a little to prosper, but anything of religious significance and or moral self-governing peaceful action is shut down. And so abortions are fine and going to church and is not fine. So we really have a problem, and government is now being used as the tip of that divide spear.
Yeah, it is. And you literally, because of what these government officials have done, you literally can go easier to a casino than you can to church. And that's a fact.
I don't know really even how to respond to this.
I know. How do you?
And I don't know what we should do about it. Because what we don't want to do is riot in the streets like they're doing. That's not going to do any good, just have more rioters in the streets. What we need to do, though, is we need to push and impeach these judges. Roberts needs to be impeached.
Oh, man. No kidding. Well, I got for the next hour, I've got something I've got to talk to you about.
All right. We got a lot to discuss hour.
I'm going to tell it to you what it is. It looks like I'm being forced to decide between keeping my job as a teacher or wearing a mask.
All right, we'll talk about that next hour. Masks are being mandated everywhere. Remember, it was me over the last probably month or so, Sheriff, that said, hey, they're going to force masks on us. They're going to do it. And some of them are trying to pretend they have a light hand, but they've even got the president to cave now. As far as I can tell, he's not mandating masks. But he's wearing one. He's encouraging wearing one. He's not challenging the narrative like he used to.
In baseball, he wasn't wearing one.
All right. Anyway, all I'm telling you, though, is that there you go. Even Fauci, they say, during the baseball game in parts, wasn't wearing one also. So anyway, we'll talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll go ahead and talk about it next hour. We got a whole lot of stuff coming up, though, too. I'm just telling you right now, just next hour will be a barn burner just like this one. The good sheriff with me, Sheriff Richard Mack. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and yours truly, LibertyRoundtable.com, nationally syndicated and worldwide via LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.